سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، let's continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidahullah. And just to mention some of the points that we had last time, the points being numbers 82 and 83, the first of them being with regard to the obligatory prayers. Now, the obligatory prayers in Islam are five. And we had the point that with regard to the salah, the obligatory prayer, that abandoning the prayer is kufr, is disbelief. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned the point that as for a person who abandons the prayer, doesn't pray, and along with that he denies the obligation of the prayer, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever by consensus of the Muslim scholars. He abandons, he doesn't pray, and he doesn't hold the prayer to be obligatory. And then he is a disbeliever by consensus. And as for the one who, he doesn't deny the obligation of the prayer, but he doesn't perform it. Out of laziness, he doesn't pray. Then the Sheikh mentioned that the scholars differ about that matter, but that the more correct from the two sayings of the scholars is that he also is a disbeliever, a kafir. Just agreeing to the obligation of the prayer is not sufficient. Rather, to remain a Muslim, he must pray as well. He must perform the prayer. And we had that, no doubt, the obligatory prayers are five prayers in the day and the night. And when they were originally obligated, that occurred on the night of the Mi'raj, the ascent through the heavens, the night journey and the ascent when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken through the heavens. And they were first obligated as 50 prayers. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back a number of times asking for a reduction. And finally, they were established, and the obligation was established as five prayers in the day and the night, and that the reward of these five is 50. They are 50 in reward. So a Muslim only has to perform five, but in reward they are counted for him as 50. And that the prayers are in set times. Each of them has set times, a start time and an end time. And it is not permissible to delay them beyond their times. And if a person prays the prayer deliberately beyond its time, then it will not be acceptable. It will not be accepted from him. Unless he is one who has the valid excuse, which is a person who slept through the prayer, or who forgot the prayer. Then he prays it when he wakes or when he remembers. And likewise the traveller, that he can join the two prayers of the day together, Dhuhr and Asr, and the two prayers of the night together, the Maghrib and the Isha. And apart from these cases, then if a person, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, if a person prays the prayer after its time deliberately, he lets its time go, then it will not be accepted from him. Even if he prays it, it will not be accepted from him. Also, he mentioned the point that the number of rak'ahs for each prayer is set. The Fajr prayer is 2 rak'ahs, Dhuhr 4, Asr 4, Maghrib 3, and Isha 4. Except when a person is on a journey, then the 4 rak'ah prayers are reduced to 2 rak'ahs. So then on a journey, the Dhuhr prayer becomes 2, the Fajr prayer is 2, still the same, Dhuhr is 2, Asr is 2, Maghrib prayer is 3. Maghrib prayer remains at 3 rak'ahs. And Isha is 2 when a person is on a journey. Then came point number 83 with regard to the obligation of the zakat. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned that the zakat is taken from 4 types of wealth. Firstly, from currency, gold and silver, and paper money that is used in place of gold and silver. Then 2.5% is paid upon that, with the conditions. Conditions that is payable, person has the nisab, has had it for a year, and so on, then his zakat is due upon currency, gold and silver. And it is due upon cattle, if the person has cattle, sheep or cows or camels. And likewise, the third category is crops, that which grows from the earth, grains, cereal grains and fruits. And the fourth category that the chef mentioned was merchandise, urudu tijara, merchandise, goods which are traded in that a person has for trade. So these four categories, and we mentioned a small side point, that that was the saying of the great majority of the scholars, that there is zakat due upon merchandise, even though there is a saying from some of the scholars, a minority saying, that it's not due upon merchandise zakat. I mean, the obligatory zakat with a set condition, set factors and conditions, that's not due upon merchandise. But as we heard, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he took the view of the great majority that it is indeed due upon merchandise. And that the zakat, a person can distribute it himself when it's due upon him. He can distribute it to those who deserve it, or he can hand it over to the ruler. If the ruler has, will accept it. The ruler has someone who will sends out people to collect it, for the example. Then he can hand it over to the ruler. However, if there is a case where the ruler does not take it from him, then the responsibility remains upon his head. He can't say, well, the ruler didn't collect it, so it's that I'm free of responsibility, it's his fault. No, the zakat is due upon the person who has the wealth to make sure that it is given over by one of those two means. Either he personally distributes it, or he hands it over to the person in authority. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued to what occurs here on page 403, with point number 84, and he brings three points together here, like the way it's ordered here in the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan. Three points are brought together, points number 84, 85 and 86. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, wa'lam anna awwal al-islami shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh wa anna ma qala Allah kama qala ولا خلف لما قال وهو عندما قال والإيمان بالشرائع كلها. He's saying, and know that the beginning of Islam is the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger, and that whatever Allah says is just as he said, and nothing can contradict what he says, and he is true to what he has said. And to have iman, true faith, in all of the revealed laws. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, he, rahimahullah, said, and you should know, O Muslim, O talib al-ilm, O seeker of knowledge, meaning, you should be certain and understand clearly that the beginning, the first part of Islam, is the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. These two are the first pillar from the pillars of Islam, as occurs in the hadith of Jibreel, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قال أخبرني عن الإسلام قال الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. That he, bin Jibreel عليه السلام, said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell me about Islam. He said, Islam is that you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish the prayer, and that you give the zakat, and that you fast Ramadan, and that you perform Hajj to the house, if you are able to make your way to it. As I mentioned in the footnote, this is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, hadith number 8, from hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. As Sheikh Fazal indicated, being known as the famous hadith of Jibreel. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him about Islam and Iman and Ihsan and the last hour and the signs of the last hour. Then Shaykh al-Fazlan said, so ash-shahadatan, the two testifications, are the first thing which mankind is to be called to. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَإِذَا قَالُوهَا أَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been commanded to fight against the people until they say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So if they say it, then they have rendered their blood and their property secure from me, except on account of a right of Islam, and their reckoning will be with Allah. As I mentioned in a footnote here, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, hadith number 25, and reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith number 22, from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Then Shaykh Fazan said, and when he, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he sent Mu'ad to Yemen, he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ لَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. But he said to him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed him, saying, indeed, you are going to a people from the people of the book, the people of the scripture. So let the first thing that you call them to be the testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and it should be hadith 1395, and Muslim, as hadith number 19, from a hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this is the first thing which the people are to be called to, because it is the entrance, it is the entry point into the religion of Islam. As for those who are lax about Tawheed and do not give importance to it, from the companions of the various calls and the present day methodologies of da'wah, methodologies utilized in da'wah, then this is contrary to this tremendous fundamental principle of calling first to the most important matter of all, the tawheed of Allah, singling out Allah with all worship. So those who don't give importance to that, they're contradicting this tremendous principle of putting this first. He said, and what is required with regard to the two testifications is not just to pronounce them upon the tongue. Rather, what is required is to state them upon the tongue whilst being aware of their meaning, and to act in accordance with what they necessitate. However, whoever testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, then it will be accepted from him. So if he is then upright upon it, then he is a Muslim. But if something appears from him which contradicts them, then he will be an apostate. Then Sheikh Fawzan moves in to explaining the meaning of the two testifications. He said, and the meaning of the testification that La ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, is that you hold as your belief in your heart, and that you state upon your tongue, and you affirm, and you acknowledge that none is deserving of worship, ibadah, except for Allah, and that everything that is worship besides Him is false and futile, and worship of it is false and futile. And he gives the evidence. He said, He the Most High said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd Surah, Ayah 62. With the explanation, that is because Allah, He is the one who is truly deserving of worship. And those whom they worship and invoke besides Him, that is false and futile. And Allah is the Most High and Exalted One, the incomparably Great One. He said, and the meaning of the testification that Muhammad, he goes on to the second testification, and the meaning of the testification and the Muhammadan Rasulullah, the meaning of testification that none has the right to be worshipped, or rather the meaning of testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, is that you acknowledge outwardly and inwardly that He is the Messenger of Allah. As for a person who states it upon his tongue, but he does not acknowledge it inwardly, he does not acknowledge his messengership inwardly, then this one is a munafiq, this one is a hypocrite. The person who states upon his tongue that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah upon his tongue, but in his heart he doesn't believe that he is a messenger, he doesn't believe in his messengership, then this one is a munafiq, a hypocrite. He the Most High said, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Surah Al-Munafiqun, the 63rd Surah, Ayah 1, the first Ayah, with the explanation. When the hypocrites come to you, addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the hypocrites come to you, they say, we testify that you are the Messenger of Allah, and Allah knows that you are indeed His Messenger. And Allah testifies that the hypocrites are certainly liars in their testifying. I mean, they testify with it upon their tongues, but that does not accord to what is in their hearts. And Shaykh al-Azhan quotes the second ayah. He said, يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, Ayah 167. With the explanation, they say with their mouths that which is not in their hearts. The description of the hypocrites, they say with their mouths that which is not within their hearts. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, so the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad and Rasulullah, its meaning is, in summary, ta'atuhu fi ma amar, wa tasdiquhu fi ma akhbara, wa ijtinabu ma naha anhu wa zajar, wa an la yu'badu Allahu illa bima shara. Meaning of the second testification is, in summary, to obey him in whatever he commanded, and to attest to the truth of whatever he informed of, and to avoid whatever he forbade or prohibited, and that Allah should not be worshipped except with that which he legislated. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan breaks down this very important definition and says, ta'atuhu fima amar, to obey him in whatever he commanded. He said, so if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded a matter, then you must comply with it. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا رَحْمَكَ اللَّهُ وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ رَحْمَكَ اللَّهُ وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 36, with the explanation, and it is not for a believing man, nor for a believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any choice with regard to their affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has strayed with a clear straying. So the first point he explains with regard to testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the second point he said, تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرَ, to attest to the truth of whatever he informed of. He said he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed about some affairs of the ghayb, the hidden and the unseen, of the past and the future. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be believed regarding whatever he informed of, and he did not speak from desires. In huwa illa wahyun yuha, Surah An-Najm, the 53rd surah, ayah 4. The explanation, it is just revelation sent to him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing about something is something true and something certain. No doubt can come upon it if it is authentic from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاجْتِنَابُ مَا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَزَجَرُ, as for the phrase, and to avoid whatever he forbade and prohibited. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, avoiding whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade and prohibited, and that is his saying, he the Most High, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 7, with the explanation, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it, and whatever he forbids you from, then desist, and be dutiful, and fear and be dutiful to Allah. Indeed, Allah is severe in punishment. And he explains the last phrase, وَأَنْ لَا يُؤْبَدُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَ, and that Allah is not to be worshipped except with that which he legislated. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated, conveying it from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. I mean, that's the meaning, I mean, what he legislated, I mean, what he conveyed from Allah. Then he said, and this negates innovations and newly introduced affairs and baseless practices, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not command. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man amira من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an action which our affair is not in accordance with, then it is rejected. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. He said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours that which is not from it, then it is rejected. As I mentioned in the footnote, the checking that this has proceeded, as we had before, is reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith 2697, that's the correct reference, 2697, and Muslim as hadith 1718, 2697 and 1718, from a hadith of the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And he quotes a further hadith, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware of newly introduced affairs. And he quotes a part of the same hadith, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ وَالْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. They're saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided, orthodox khulafa, caliphs who come after me. Cling on to it and bite upon it with your premolar teeth, and beware of the newly introduced affairs. For every newly introduced affair is a bid'ah, innovation, and every innovation is a going astray. Again, in the footnote they say, this has already preceded the checking of this, and as we had before, it's reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. It was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and every ibadah, every worship, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not legislate, then it is batila, false and futile. And there will be no reward in it. There will be no reward in doing it. Rather, there will be sin in it, because it is a bid'ah, innovation. And innovation takes a person further away from Allah and will not draw him closer to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And he said, moving on to the next phrase from Imam al-Barwahari, rahimahullah, he's saying, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَ الْإِسْلَامِ شَهَادَةُ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبِّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And you should know that the first part of Islam, the beginning of Islam, is a testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Shaykh Fawzan, pointing on this point again, says, this is the first pillar, and it is the entrance. Then after it comes the salah, the prayer. Then after it comes the zakat. Then fasting Ramadan. Then Hajj to Allah's sacred house. Then the rest of the duties and laws of the religion. All of them follow on from the two testifications. The testification that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. He said, he's saying, وَأَنَّمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ كَمَا قَالَ وَلَا خُلْفَ لِمَا قَالَ وَهُوَ عِنْدَمَا قَالَ. And that whatever Allah said, then it is just as He said, and none can contradict what He has said, and He is true to what He has said. Shaykh Fawzan said, whatever Allah, the Majestic and Most High, has said, then it is just as He has said. No doubt can ever come upon it. Allah the Most High said, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 87. The explanation, and who is truer in speech than Allah? And he quotes the second ayah, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Surah An-Nisa, same surah, ayah 122, with the explanation, and who is truer than Allah insane. Shaykh al-Fawzan explained the same meaning. No one is truer than Allah, the perfect and most high. He said, and if Allah, the perfect, makes a promise, a wa'ad, Allah makes a promise, then he does not break it. وعد الله لا يخلف الله لا يخلف الله وعده ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Surah Al-Rum, the 30th Surah, Ayah 6. With the explanation, the promise of Allah. It is a promise of Allah. Allah does not break his promises. However, most of mankind do not know that Allah will certainly carry out his promise. Shaykh Fawzan said, so when he makes a promise, then he does not break his promise. Makes a wa'ad, a promise, he does not break his promise. And if he tawa'ada, if he threatens someone, if he makes a threat, a threat of punishment or the like, and if he threatens something, then he may pardon. He, the perfect and most high. So there is a difference between al-wa'ad, promises, and at-tawa'ud, threats. There's a difference between when Allah promises something and when Allah threatens something. Shaykh Fawzan said, so al-wa'ad promises, the promise. He never breaks it. He never breaks a promise. And as for at-tawa'ud, a threat that he has made, a wa'id, a threat, then Allah, the Majestic and Most High, may pardon and overlook and may not carry out the wa'id, the threat, as a mercy from him, he the perfect, and as a favour from him, he the perfect and most high. In other words, that with regard to a wa'ad, a promise that Allah has made, a promise of reward and the like, Allah never breaks that promise, ever. As for a threat, whoever does such and such, then the threat is such and such. And Allah may either carry it out, or he may pardon. Then Shaykh Fawzan finishes with the final paragraph here. He said, he's saying, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالشَّرَائِ كُلِّهَا. And to have iman in all of the revealed laws. Shaykh Fawzan said, it is obligatory to have iman, true faith, in all of the revealed laws which Allah sent down to his messengers. All of them. In general, with regard to those that have been left unspecified, and specifically, with regard to those that have been mentioned specifically. I mean, where is it in general? We believe in all revealed laws. Even if we don't know all the names of all the messengers to whom they were sent down, we say in general, we believe in all of them. We don't make a distinction. We believe in all of them. Even if we don't know the name of all of the messengers, which we don't, and the revealed laws that were sent to each of them, we don't know in detail. We believe in general in all of them. And with regard to the ones that Allah, the Most High, has mentioned to us specifically, what was sent to Musa, alayhi salam, what was sent to Isa alayhi salam, and so on and so forth, then we believe specifically. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the ayahs, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 136. With the explanation, say, we truly believe in Allah, and in whatever was sent down to us, and in whatever was sent down to Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and to the tribes, and whatever was given to Musa, and Isa, and whatever the prophets were given by their Lord, whatever the prophets were given from their Lord. We do not make any distinction between any of them. And we submit as Muslims to him. And he quotes a second ayah. قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. سورة آل عمران, the third surah, آية 84. In the explanation, say, we have iman, we truly believe in Allah, and in whatever was sent down to us, and in whatever was sent down to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and to the tribes, and whatever was given to Musa and Isa and to the prophets from their Lord, we do not make any distinction between them. You don't believe in some and disbelieve in others. You don't make any distinction in that regard between any of them. And we are Muslims submitting to him. Sheikh Fawzan said, so we have iman, we truly believe in all of the laws, all of the divine laws sent down, all of them, and we truly believe that Allah, the Majestic and Most High, legislates for each time whatever is suitable for it, and then he abrogates that with another revealed law, which is suitable for those who come after them. So when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, he came with a revealed law which is firmly grounded and will remain until the hour is established. It will not be abrogated and it will never be changed. It is suitable for every time and place. Walhamdulillah. وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك